This is the News Hour with Alpha Sinkosi, only on Marcus Zahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
We know that at some point in time, each and every one of us, you'd want to be buried. And as to how, obviously, families decide who is going to bury it. How are you going to bury it and where? But I just want us to look into this story. Alternative burial options to cope with the population growth challenging the traditional tradition of how we do things. And there's just not enough traditional burial space on the planet to cope with the beginning population worldwide. Now, in South Africa as well, there's the same problem that we're sitting with. South African Cemeteries Association Chairperson Pepe Das says, with a population of 57 million, South African would require as many graves within 50 to 80 years. He says, traditionally, people are used to owning a gravesite, one body in one grave. So now the issue is huge, and we are running out of space very fast, and the biggest cause or factor is population growth. So we have seen a population explosion, and it has basically taken the history of mankind. So we're trying to get an understanding of how big the situation is in terms of the shortages of graveyards. And there's been reports in some cases whereby it's been reported that, look, we South Africa, we're running out and running short very fast of grave sites, graveyards. So we're going to look into that particular story. How big is the situation, and how should we be conducting, or how should we be focusing on this? And is there any put in place that can come up with solutions into this particular matter? So yeah, I know some families that they've prepared to actually bury their loved ones on top of the other, but let's find out if is this the case. Joining me on the line, it's Pepe Das, chairman of the South African Cemeteries Association. Mr. Das, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, officer.
It's a pleasure indeed. Just help us understand the extent of this problem and how big is this issue of the grave shortages.
All right. Look, it's not a case of grave shortages. Well, I suppose ultimately it will be a case of, you know, not having sufficient graves.
Mm.
But the problem is bigger than that. It's basically a population that's growing so large that the available land is not sufficient to accommodate a certain type of practice.
Hmm.
And now let me give you a picture.
Yeah.
The world has got about 7.8 billion people,
hmm.
you know, currently. South Africa's got a population of 57 million. Now, these numbers have basically escalated in the last 60 years. So, and I've been saying this at various, you know, fora, that you in your history of mankind, basically people have been growing on this planet to a certain point. At about 60 years ago, we were about 3 million. And now we are, 60 years later, we are 7.8. Now, the growth is exponential. Now, what's going to happen is, if the trend carries on, and it will carry on like this, in the next 50 years, we'll be more than doubled. So If you look at your landscape right now,
yeah.
the places where you live,
mm.
and you see development going on, houses are being
yeah.
built,
yeah.
you see what you call urban areas unable to cope with the influx of people moving in, you know, to survive, looking for work, etc.
Yeah.
And you've got lots of informal settlements that are springing up all over the place. And a huge problem that government has in terms of housing and a whole lot of other issues. Multiply this a few times over as the population grows.
Mm.
So if we're at 57 billion and we're occupying so much space at this point in time, can you imagine us in the next 50 years or so when we are over 100 million?
It's a challenge. So, it's very scary.
So your perspective of, you know, it can't be, so what's happening to the graves?
Mm.
Basically, it's what's happening to us generally, you know, and this is one of the challenges we're going to face. So every time we look at a practice that we have in place, and that practice is not sustainable to the environment, we put ourselves in a bigger jeopardy position.
Mm. But how big is this problem?
It's a global problem. It's a global problem. It's already in Asia, in Europe, in America, the problem is so huge that the people themselves are starting to shift from the traditional position they've held, which was a single body in a grave.
Yeah.
And in those continents already, what's happening is there's a shift now to a greater number of people moving for more sustainable practice. And in this particular case, it's cremations. So because the land can't accommodate, cremation is space saving. So people are moving towards that process. But I mean, it doesn't mean burials are not taking place. Burials are still happening in those continents, but the challenge, you know, of burying people is huge. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys you just Google what's happening in Hong Kong and how the landscape has been transformed with burying people on in that limited space. Mm. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling when you look at these things.
Mm.
Various parts of Europe, they're also experiencing a problem where, you know, European communities have been burying above ground or stacking bodies in maybe underground sort of catacomb systems or whatever. They've run out of space even there.
Mm.
So the whole idea of sort of retaining a body in a space is a challenge in itself. So there has to be ways and methods where, you know, the way one lays one's loved one to rest actually contributes to the environment. It sustains the environment in some way or the other.
Mm. Well, I know the fact that you've encouraged people to really consider perhaps cremation, but how has it been received? Is there any pushback from this cultural perspective to take that suggestion forward?
Yes, there is. There is definitely, and there will be, you know, challenges there, as it would be for ideas that appear to be new to communities. You know, but I think what's more important is that the communities actually understand the problem, and that the communities themselves are the solution to problems in terms of how they do things.
And
that's where the discussion needs to take place.
Yeah.
And this is where you know the association itself sees its role, because this discussion is not coming forward as loudly as we would like to see it coming, and of course at the end of the day. The challenge would be left on the doorstep of government and municipalities, etc., to deal with, you know. And if this doesn't come out now, it's going to be even more difficult to deal with it. The reaction, as it is, we see now, the reaction is, okay, we're running out of land, so what do we do? The best thing we can do is find more land and we can carry on burying. But in the long term, if you look at the scenario that I posed to you, that solution is not a sustainable solution, you know. Can you imagine now, I said 57 million South Africans. Now let's look at a large city, like Itikweni for that matter. We're just under 4 million people.
Mm.
Johannesburg is just over 4 million people, Gauteng. Mm. Now, in the next 50 to 60 or 80 years, that 4 million people will die.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Indeed.
You're going to be looking for graves for 4 million people. And of course, the population of that place would have now probably gone between 8 to about 12 million people, or even more, right?
Mm.
And in another period of 50, 60 years, you're going to be looking for even more burial space. And this goes on and on and on. It's not a sustainable practice.
So
we'd rather start talking about these things now.
Absolutely.
It's already, we think, you know, way down in terms of the horse is basically bolted, you know, and you're trying to shut a gate. It's just a human reaction to a problem that's really right in your midst. You're not seeing it.
No. In this regard, Dylan, what is the best thing for us to do in terms of managing this? Do we put written instructions, or how is it done?
Okay, look, I think there has to be sort of a multidisciplinary approach. It has to involve everybody. I think more especially with government taking a stand, okay, this is a challenge we have. Let's encourage people to look at alternatives.
Yeah.
We're not saying you must take it, But let's look at ways. Let's see if there are practices that are sustainable that can contribute to our environment and still keep your traditional practices in place. And I think there are possibilities for this.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. I was looking at an article in Australia, and the Australians are looking at, you know, areas that need to be greened up. You know, in other words, they're going to be planting, or they are already planting green belt forests, you know, that they're creating where forests have been destroyed, or where forests may exist. And there's a consideration now, is it possible to bury bodies within these forests, you know, within the roots of these trees? And that's a very sustainable way of thinking. I mean, if it does work, it's a very sustainable way of maintaining your tradition and contributing to the environment at the same time. And it sounds radical here in this conversation, I know.
But yeah, it does.
But these are the ways we need to start thinking, you know.
Exactly. But then you've mentioned that, look, it's about time to talk about this particular issue. But then, are the municipalities and government effectively communicating this lack of burial land? Are they communicating it enough?
Look, I think to a certain extent there is some communication, but I think the urgency of the message, the seriousness of the message is not coming through, and that's purely because of your political priorities. Your priorities basically will be directed towards your living population. You've got urgent needs in terms of education, housing, you know, sanitation, all of the things that people require. And these things basically occupy the energy, you know, of the politicians. So the other issues, like what happens to you when you die now, is not as important, because if you want to be blunt about it, you're not going to win votes selling cemeteries. You're going to win votes, you know, providing food on the table, you know, providing work, employment, you know, residences. Those are the things that actually will keep you in position, in power. So these other challenges, you know, are challenges, but it's unfortunately it just doesn't come to the fore because it doesn't become the priority, and I don't see it ever becoming the priority. That's why it's absolutely necessary for us to do some introspection, you know, as citizens of this country, and consider what can we do to make a contribution, you know, to this challenge. We need to actually get into discussions in our communities to say, look, these are options. Are these options workable? You know, can we still retain our traditional values with regards to adopting some of these new options? And there has to be this kind of discussion. What's most important to us?
Yes. You know, when you look into the traditional way of doing things, I presume this issue, it does not leave anyone out. It affects all of us. But now, when I look into, we have in South Africa, we are multi-diverse. We have different cultures, different religions. Now, burial in religious perspectives are different. So how does this factors in? Is it the same when you look into, let's say, for example, Muslim burials as well? So does it have to leave anyone out, or it's just a matter of that it's a matter that affects everyone?
It affects everyone. It affects everyone. I don't think there's any particular chosen group of people could say, well, we are so different it can't affect us. This is a fact of, you know, of our existence. And there's no running away from it. And look, but just out of interest, the Muslim community and in my interaction with them have been reusing graves.
Yeah.
Over a number of years in South Africa.
So
that is encouraging. But I think over the long run, as populations explode, the capacity of those cemeteries to handle bodies may be reduced severely. And then I think if one looks at reuse of graves then, and if graves reuse of graves and burials are going to be a method that people don't want to let go of, then surely there has to be consideration for how can one maximize the reuse of a grave. You know, so decomposition processes, etc. Maybe there should be an involvement of technology and research in terms of how can we maximize capacities in our graves so that people can keep that traditional practice if they so wish.
And looking into the perspective that obviously even that, Pat, it might go with the going green, with environmentally friendly ecosystem measures as well?
Yes. It's quite interesting that you speak about that. Now, in the United States, which has been traditionally burying for many years, until about, I think about 20 years ago, or just over 20 years ago, Your percentage of burials or funerals that sort of took place in the U.S. where was about 13%, and now it's just over 50%. So in that sort of time frame of just around 20 years, you've had a massive spike in cremations, and it's a growing trend, right? Now, they recently, even though they've been moving towards cremation in the States, they've just recently looked at legislation where they're looking at other ways of decomposing bodies, you know, processes where a body is laid to rest in some sort of process, where the ultimate what you call outcome of that is the production of a material that's almost that's decomposed, which is your natural body material, into some form of a compost that can go back into the earth. So those are the kind of green, you know, sort of burial methods you're talking about. There's another what you call development in Europe, where a body goes into a kind of a pod. You know, it's placed in a pod in a kind of a fetal position.
Okay.
And that pod is buried into the ground, and the way the pod, where the body basically breaks down in the pod, actually contributes to the earth, to the you know, to the nutrition in the earth, and a tree grows from that pod. So there's a kind of a continuation from the dead to the living. So these are the kind of green methodology that's coming through in Sweden. There's the breakdown of a body as opposed to cremation, as an alternative to cremation. The body is broken down through a process. They call it promession, where it's basically frozen, you know, by liquid nitrogen, and then the material that's left is put into a kind of a coffin, and it's buried in a very shallow grave, which also very quickly decomposes, so it doesn't really occupy, you know, a space in the earth. And these can be planted into forests, or forests can be created. And there's a huge, you know, need for us to basically green the planet, you know, with the destruction of the environment. So these concepts are basically trying to sort of find this balance, you know, in terms of recreating, you know, the green that we are losing out in other ways.
And when it comes to, especially in KZN, let's see, there's the city's demand for cremation and versus the burial, it was 40 to 60. Is there any improvement on that?
No, look, I'm just trying to understand that statistic. I know we've had some stats recently with Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where that municipality, what you call it, declared that 40% of the services that come through their doors are for cremations, so that the other 60% then will be burials. But that shows a fairly high number. And what's also happened in Cape Town is that they've had to shut down some of their cemeteries to new burials. In other words, their entire landscape of a cemetery was covered with burials. And instead of closing the cemetery down, they allow families to come and rebury in graves that they already have a previous family member, you know, interred in. So that's kept them going. And this is what's happening in lots of municipalities. Johannesburg, eThekwini, we've been doing this for years. Some of our large cemeteries in places like Umlazi closed basically for the last burial around 1999, in early 2000. But we've continued to bury, families have continued to bury in graves that they've had under lease, you know, and which a previous member has been buried in. So these practices have existed. But the percentage you gave me with cremations, look, it's still fairly low in eThekwini, because what's happening here is it's mostly minority groups are using cremation as an alternative. Although there are within African communities, there's a movement of a very small number of people that are cremating. They're choosing to cremate. I mean, I know colleagues for that matter, and friends that whose families have actually made the choice. So it's not as if it's something that's totally abhorrent to a community. You know, there is buy-in, and as time goes on, I will assume that this would grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think when it comes to push, people will start now climbing the mountains and look for burial spaces in the mountains, and that will kill the nature as well. Pepe, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated indeed. You know, what an enlightening topic. I'd really, really learned a few things today. I mean, we're sitting here and not really, really considering these things, but of which it's a sad reality. It's coming. But thank you so much for enlightening us.
No, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. There you have it. That is Pepe Das, the chairman of South African Cemeteries Association, alternative burial options to cope with the population growth challenges and tradition. And we know that some other families wouldn't like to cremate their loved ones because they believe of those are in their future, that person, he or she will be an ancestor of something or something like that. But this is the set reality. Now, there's no one, he mentioned in Hong Kong, grave shortages in Hong Kong as well. It costs more to house the dead than the living. So there's one thing, even Hong Kong's more than 40 billionaires will struggle to buy a final resting place on their home turf. So land shortages in the late 1970s forced Hong Kong to ban construction of few permanent burial sites, and public cemeteries were ordered to ensure the remains of the deceased be exhumed and cremated after 6 years to make way for newcomers.